This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it's Monday. Are you ready for today? Are you ready for the week to start? I woke up with some kind of sinusy thing this morning. Felt like I had a homeless family living in my head. And I don't know, I really did. Like, I had a pretty healthy weekend. I ate healthy, I went to gym, I slept enough, you know? I don't understand it. Why am I being punished? When I have weekends where I go on a bender and I behave badly, then I'm fine when I come in here on a Monday. What does that tell you?
We've got to add alcohol to our systems. I don't know what the actual equation is, but we have to add some.
I'm thinking of joining Al-Qaeda. It's becoming so boring. You know?
Go ahead. Do it. Let's see how long you last.
Sure. I wouldn't last very long.
Nope.
No, because that's the whole point of joining Al-Qaeda. Yes. You know that you're shortening your lifespan, right? Yep.
Yeah, you don't get too many Al-Qaeda 10-year badges.
No, they don't hand out a watch. 5-year? What do you mean 10? 10-year, you're in the old age home of Al-Qaeda.
At the Al-Qaeda awards every year, there's no long service award.
Exactly. I did spend the weekend sort of tidying up my house and moving stuff around and throwing crap out, and that's just my favorite way to spend time. I realized, like, on Saturday night, because I didn't go out at all, I didn't do anything. No one could persuade me. I was at home, and I was moving stuff around. I just love doing that stuff. I realized, like, I should just live at home and never leave. I should never leave my house.
What an exciting life.
It is my favorite way to... I'm telling you now, this is just the best. I'm not antisocial, you know that. I do go out from time to time, but man, it's good to just be at home. I do love it. I could easily just close those doors, just be on my own.
My goodness, no.
I had this argument with a girl the other day. She's like, oh, no, you know what? You just haven't met the right girl. I'm like, I've met a couple of the right girls. I'm just not the right guy. That's the problem. Right?
Right.
Yeah. They see me and they're like, I'll fix him.
Oh.
And then I see them and I'm like, oh, no, she's going to try and fix me. It was going so well.
Mm-mm.
Pet project.
I know.
See, you're living a life similar, though, to the one that I want to live in many, many years' time. But I want to just live alone when I'm old.
Great job.
But up on a hill somewhere, just in a villa. And then people have to, like, walk as I look down on them all the way up to visit me.
Yeah, you can't be somebody's house husband and then live alone.
Well,
that's not how the deal works.
Yes. He'll be dead because, remember, I'll marry him.
Are you going to kill him?
No, I'll marry him when he's 97 and I'm 36.
Enjoy that. Enjoy that.
And then I'll get all the money.
That putting out. Who are you marrying? Elton John?
I don't know. Just someone on an oxygen tank. That's how I'll afford the villa, my man.
Did I show you the picture of that place that I want to live? You're joking about, like, living on your own on a hill. Just show him that, my buddy. I put it up on Instagram over the weekend.
Okay, well, that's a bit drastic.
No, it's this place that's like on the edge of the sea, and it's completely surrounded by rocks, and there's one road that leads up to it, and you pretty much anywhere else you try to get there, you die. And I said on Instagram, it's the perfect hideaway for a zombie apocalypse. But man, I could live there.
That's a bit too drastic for me.
What are you talking about? Doesn't that look great?
Yeah, but I just don't think living by the sea is ever a good idea.
Why?
Because global warming and pirates. between the two, you know, and those seagulls are annoying as all hell. All day.
Right. Okay.
Global warming, pirates,
and
seagulls.
You might be onto something. You might be onto something.
No, I always look at Hardabearsport Dam because that looks like a nuclear fallout area already with all that hyacinth. But and then up in the hill there,
well, it is.
You make something into the rocks. Because you're near like a major center if you ever need to use an airport.
Okay.
And then you're up there and no one's going to come near you because...
Yeah, it's not the Italian villa vision that I had, but okay.
Yeah, but that's where you get snipers and other people. No luck. Nobody will harm you out by the dam.
Jeez, y'all are living some interesting lives.
Well, did they get rid of the president over the weekend? Because I saw headlines saying, bye-bye, Zuma. Mm. I'm like, oh, shit, I wanted to stop on the side of the road and take a picture of that. Yeah. And I was like, it's too soon.
Gareth, sadly, that's what headlines are. Not always truthful.
Fake news.
They're just headlines.
It's fake news. People are wondering why nobody trusts the news.
Well.
Huh?
Exhibit A.
Fucking liars. So he's still there?
Yes.
They get us excited, really.
Yeah. I knew I shouldn't have got excited.
It was such a great headline. We don't want to humiliate Jacob Zuma by recalling him. Okay, so this dipshit's humiliated the entire country for like 8 years, but we can't humiliate him.
He's humiliated himself. I mean, he's mixed with the most horrible criminals. He's been accused of rape. I mean, how could we do more to humiliate them than he's done to himself?
The stuff he's done to himself is his own doing. We can do our own, you know, version.
Yo, tell you what. This guy, and he's got some kahunas on him, because he went to that ANC NEC meeting and he's like, you're not going to get rid of me. I bet you he gave them all a brown eye from the stage.
Oh my gosh.
It wouldn't surprise me if he pulled down his pants and actually gave them a brown eye from the stage.
Oh lord, do I want to ask what a brown eye is?
Dummies. You're just showing your asshole to everybody.
Oh,
okay. You spread your cheeks and you show them your asshole. And that little asshole's the brown eye. Okay.
Look, I'm sure the president feels like
he... You didn't know that? Hang on a second. He didn't know what a brown eye was.
Oh, okay,
Run with that one, Sarah.
I knew it was something I would regret Googling, so I didn't even choose to Google.
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
Something Urban Dictionary would just mess my life up with, so no thanks.
Mm. Oh, it's a brown eye. A brown eye is when you've got the one eye, the back. You don't think that's funny? If you give someone a brown eye...
I think it's like messed up that A, you would even use that. That's a term that people use.
Yes.
And B, who the hell would ever do that to someone else?
Oh, a lot of drunk people have.
Oh, I'm so angry at you, Mabale. Oh,
no,
I want to show you my...
No, people have done it in drunk states mostly.
Yeah, but it's a dying art, though. I mean, I can't remember the last time. It's like, yo, and then he brown-eyed me. I haven't heard this since the 90s.
We should bring it back. We should start it up again, though. I mean, it really is a great way to show people how you really feel.
And also, it can be done at like various distances as well. You know, it's hard to insult someone from 73 meters away. You drop trowel and brown eye. It's pretty much, there's no doubt what's going on there.
Right.
You can't, you know, what are you going to do with a hand gesture? What are you going to shout? What if it's windy? No one's going
to
hear
you. What did a good old middle finger do to you? Is that so like 1997?
Like Americans made it look so lame.
Okay.
You've just got a brown eye from now on.
Brown eye.
I think I'll skip that trend.
I can see the president like just going buck crazy after this. Now, I heard an interesting story. I want to know if anyone has any info on this, because you know, we've got very smart listeners who know a lot. Know a lot more than me. So I heard that when Tuli Madonsela was doing her investigation into Nkandla, she went there, remember? She went around and she added up, you know, kind of what the costs should have been and how they were inflated. When they got to the certain door and they wanted to go into the bunker, they were stopped. Now, I've heard that there is cash, money, gold, diamonds.
All of Gaddafi's gold.
Yeah, like a whole stockpile of cash and weapons. And like he's got a whole thing underground there at Nkandla. Now, I don't know if this is true. It could be
spare
conspiracy.
Quad bikes.
Don't you think? I mean, like, you know, he set up Kulubusa to do those deals in the DRC. Do you remember that?
Yep.
So I'm wondering if this is true. I think it's true.
Well, I mean, if you live on a compound, you've got to do compoundy things.
Right, like Escobar.
Yeah.
I think he's got like pallets of money down
but
there.
But does he have like soldiers for the guns, though?
I don't know. I think he's just got the guns, and then he can hire. You know, because when you've got money and guns, you could do anything you want. Yeah. That's the golden combo. They're three corners to the triangle. You want money, and you can hire anybody to shoot the guns. Mm-hmm. They're not going to kill you because they want the money. And then you need vehicles. You need like escape routes, plans to get out.
That's where Kulubusa comes in the quad bike.
Right. Now, Kulubusa. Now, I heard, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but a friend of mine sent me this over the weekend. And it's like a video. I Googled it afterwards and I found like it's probably fake news.
Mm-hmm.
But this friend of mine he's really connected. So let me show you this quickly, my buddy. So here, look at this video. There's like a whole bunch of money.
What What currency is that?
That's dollars.
Okay.
And it's at, it's purportedly at Lanseria Airport.
Oh.
And it's in Red Cross boxes.
Boxes. Sure, there must be what?
Oh.
Over 50 of these boxes in this room where it's being filmed.
Right.
Possibly even 100 of these boxes.
Right.
Stockpiled with US dollars. Wow.
So I got into a huge debate with a whole bunch of my friends at that one because...
Who was taking this video is the question.
Now, this friend of mine says he knows for sure that Kulubuse had a massive party. Wads of cash were offloaded and he went directly to Rolls-Royce and bought himself 3 RR Ghosts, that's Rolls-Royce Ghosts, and threw a massive party where a few of the people that this guy knows were present. How do you like that?
Mm. No.
How do you like that?
And also, so you walk into a Rolls-Royce dealership with cash.
Yes.
And they don't bat an eyelid either. Well, really, it's not their job.
They don't care, Sia.
They're making another sale.
They do well, two not, sales at this they point. They do not care. They're are there sell you to a Rolls sell Royce. Cars. And they actually want nothing to do with it. They're like, we don't want to get involved.
No, but if you want the Rolls Royce.
We don't know
Royce,
what it is. We're here to sell cars. There's your car.
How long does it take to count? How much is a Rolls
here's
Royce?
Here's what the actual spokesperson from Rolls Royce said.
That's not my job.
Yeah, exactly.
Pay back the money.
How much does a Rolls Royce retail for?
About 7,000 African hopes and dreams.
Yeah, that's about right. That's the real cost. That's the opportunity cost.
Are you there? You're
basically throwing away 7,000 kids' futures, especially if it's public money.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it's not like, it's definitely public money.
Oh, by the way, before we even get on with anything this morning, I mean, we can come back to this in a second. Sorry, this is one of those, like I suddenly had a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Justice is in today. Justice is so busy. This guy, he is in such high demand. That he's coming in on a Monday for the next 4 weeks. So don't be surprised when you hear a brand new and exciting and fresh burning platform at 7 o'clock this morning. Don't expect it on Thursday because it's live today. We've got, you know, it's always better actually. I don't know why we randomly chose a Thursday, but actually a Monday is better because you've got the Sunday papers, you've got all those weekend stories and he can help us analyze them. I mean, he's got a whole agenda for this morning, but Justice will be in at 7 o'clock this morning. All right.
Over to you, Ben. Why do you think Justice is away for 4 weeks?
Yeah, come
straight?
On. What do you think?
Well, guys, seeing as
he's not away, he's just away Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you guys don't appreciate my insights, so why must I keep repeating them?
He's touched now.
True.
No, I'm not touched. I'm just stating the obvious. Why must we go around in circles here?
Why
do you guys think I'm being defensive? I don't like saying things necessarily.
You are being defensive.
No, I just don't like being repetitive. There's a difference.
Because you've stated your claim.
All right. You know what?
Obvious.
We hit a dead end there. So here, listen to this. The end of Jacob Zuma's tenure as South Africa's president was sealed on Thursday, according to News24, when he filed his appeal against a court order that transferred the power to appoint the National Director of Public Prosecutions to the Deputy President. That move, which came on the first day of the ANC's NEC, angered party president Cyril Ramaphosa's backers, who ignored pleas by the new man to treat Zuma with dignity and went for his head. Cyril's not messing around, huh? People thought he was weak. He is picking up the pace. Because he's got a window of opportunity now. If he doesn't use this now, you know what's going to happen, right? People are going to go, oh, look, this guy's a bit of a... also ran. He's just sitting waiting for things to happen to fall into his lap. So he has to act to make it look like, don't fuck with me. You know?
Well, he's got to capitalize on making himself look good.
Right.
Like he's the hero that came in to save all of us.
So according to this article, Zuma's decision to appeal the judgment that Ramaphosa appoint the successor to NPA head Sean Abrahams was seen as a sign of disrespect by NEC members. This, coupled with reports that Zuma and his ministers were on the verge of making wholesale changes at state-owned enterprises, saw NEC members seen as close to Ramaphosa table a motion that Zuma's term be cut short. There was a rush to fill key vacancies. In most instances, people would be locked in for long-term contracts of about 5 years in office. That thing is corruption, said a senior leader. So, they talk about this guy called David Masondo, who's a newly elected NEC member, and Becky Tele, who you remember, stomach in, chest out, did not meet much resistance from Zuma loyalists who had already accepted the president was a goner. You see, this always happens. The minute you turn your back, as these people turn, they turn so quickly because they realize, like, oh shit, the hand that feeds me doesn't have its other hand in the bag of food. I'm on my own. So here's what they said. It didn't even go to a vote. It was decided that top six officials would manage a dignified exit for him, which could happen within the week. Here's a quote. The old man is out of options. He has some diehard support, but it's not enough. The balance of forces has shifted to favor Cyril. Cyril takes his cue from heavyweights such as Becky Taylor, who are not pushovers. Yo, a cabinet shakeup's on the cards. This could be delayed until Ramaphosa returns from the World Economic Forum in Davos. It's expected that many of those that Zuma fired will return to government. Well, I've heard. I don't know about you guys, but you see, I have some really smart, like, politically connected people in my phone book.
Okay, so in the last 20 minutes we've worked out, you stay at home because you keep getting WhatsApps from what's going on in the ANC.
I just sit at my desk and get updates and, like,
that's what you do in life.
I just sit there and twiddle my thumbs and go, excellent.
You've got, like, 7 screens by, like, a computer.
Right, exactly. Now you know my life.
Coming in.
So, apparently, Nene's coming back in. They're reappointing some good people to the ESCOM situation. You know that ESCOM situation is a disaster, right? We all know this.
Well, they just appointed a whole bunch of people, actually, at ESCOM.
And who do you think appointed them? Do they look like Zuma-type people?
Well, I mean, you never know, Gareth. That's why you must always... we don't really have a choice. We've got to give it time.
Right. Is Claudie there?
We don't know how many people Zuma has, guys.
Is Faith there? Is Batabile there? Oh, about her.
Yeah.
Can't we get her in here? I would love to. now that she's faded into obscurity and she's about to be axed, and I mean, she's not going to matter.
I've got quite a bit of wine at home. Have you got quite a bit of scotch? Let's just round it all together.
We'll just Instagram a bunch of pictures and say, here's a Google Hangout. She'll come, right?
I don't think it's that easy.
Puts her face.
She won't come.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Damn, I really thought we could just lure her.
I thought that was it too.
Oh, well. Tubs.
Shame. Anyway, isn't that exciting that there's all this change going on?
You know, the irony of these people's names, though. Bless my African people for putting meaning into names. But for example, Batabile means...
What does it mean?
They are happy. No, you have not made us happy. And then Kulubuse means grow up and rule. Technically, he has fulfilled his prophecy.
Well, he ruled his digestive system, that's
and
for sure.
And he's ruled that compound on the quad bike.
Okay, here's the deal. Let me give you a would you rather. All right, okay. Mubs, you start. Would you rather have as much money as Kulu is supposed to have, right? And the cars that he can't get out of because he's too fat. And the houses and the life and he... like bottle champagne, and you know how he lives, right? He lives large.
Mm.
And you know you are trapped in that body, and you've probably got about 5 years to live, because he's not going to live long. One day his heart's just going to go, done.
So you can't pay for a gastric bypass?
Uh-uh. You could do anything with your money, but you are guaranteed you will die within the next 5 years, and you will be trapped in that body. So you'll only be able to pay for sex, because no one wants to have sex with someone that fat. So would you want that, or would you prefer to be Mabali Moloi?
Then I'm going to stick with being me.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I'd rather be you. I'd much rather be you. You know, I mean, can you imagine? That guy can't be healthy, right? Even if he's got tons and tons of money, even if he's buying Rolls Royce after Rolls Royce, that'll never patch that big hole.
But I'm telling you now, he's not paying for sex.
You don't think?
No, absolutely not. You have no idea the depths at which some women are prepared to go to just to get close to that kind of money.
Really?
He is not paying for sex at all.
Indirectly, though? Maybe he's buying them gifts and...
Yeah, I mean, look.
They get to be around him.
But I'm telling you now, there are plenty of women who throw themselves at him.
Really?
He just lines them up and he picks and chooses.
Ugh. Because
that's how women are, though, hey?
Wow. That's what I need. I need money. Why didn't you? You know, this is like a aha moment.
You just need money.
I just need money.
That's all you need.
All the sex I want. And I can stay at home if I have tons of it. Right?
Oh.
That's what I need.
It's it's absolutely revolting. But and I'm telling you now,
and
I'm
the
telling
sweat
you now,
and the huffing and the puffing.
Imagine him breathing down you with the garlic breath.
Oh, garlic is minor. Like, I mean, that greasy oiliness from lunch
KFC,
earlier.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. I reckon the oil just seeps out of him. Like afterwards, the bed looks like wax paper after you've had like.
Who needs lube when you?
Oh wow. All right, let's stop being mean. It's not his fault. He's addicted to food. Some of us have other addictions. All right.
Okay.
Let's get on with it. We've got a couple of stories in the headlines this morning, the five things you need to know today. And let's turn our attention to the amazing, thoughtful, the incredibly incisive Mabani Moloi for the latest. Let's go straight to it. These are the headlines.
I was trying so hard to be serious. Right. Well, I'll tell you what happened over the weekend. In fact, on Friday, Listeriosa strains were discovered at two food outlets in Gauteng. Oh, and now the environmental health practitioners in the city of Johannesburg have had to come back over the weekend to assure residents that they have been contained and that everything is under control.
Do we believe them?
Samples have been taken to the National Institute for Communicable Diseases for testing, and the City of Joburg MMC for Health, Mpopaladze, said that they are still waiting for confirmation from the NICD, but have assured everybody that everything is being controlled, or everything has been contained, rather.
Oh, I don't believe him. Are you assured?
No, I'm not assured, guys. You know that... Let's not forget that people have died from this listeriosis in extreme cases, right?
My mother told me she had like a 24-hour bug the other day, stomach bug, and she said, oh my God, I was so worried it was listeriosis. And if you don't feel good, if you're suddenly having like stomach problems, just in case, go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Just check it out.
And then, you know, wash your hands more than ever now, like really more than ever before. Your hands. I mean, when you're working with food, you know, during food preparation, just be extra thorough is all I'm going to say. Okay. Now, the city of Cape Town is coming.
What a clusterfuck that is, really.
Well, they're now coming under all sorts of fire by COSATU, who are saying that the city of Cape Town is not being honest about the water crisis in the metro. The trade union's Tony Ehrenreich was speaking, saying that their information states that day zero...
I love when someone who's never been honest at all in their life accuses other people of not being honest.
Now, he's saying that the day zero, which is the day when the city is scheduled to turn off taps, will actually be in March and not in April, as the city has been reporting. The union handed over a memorandum to officials where they have demanded a change in leadership over the management of the drought crisis.
Right.
Well, it's already changed, because yesterday Musi Maimane had a tweet about him standing in his shower with a bucket. That was symbolic of a change.
These DA people are
He showers in formal attire.
These DA people are so into showing us how virtuous they are about water saving. They really love it. They get... You know how some people get a thrill out of showing you what they've got on Instagram? They're like, look at my watch, look at my car, look at my house, look at my things. You know those people? Mm-hmm. Well, the DA have that with saving water. They look at my bucket full of water I put at the bottom of the shower. Helen takes pride in like how greasy she looks.
Oh, God.
And Musi, he probably doesn't wash his car, and now he's driving around in the filthiest car in Cape Town. He's like, yeah, but the people are going to think I'm such a water saver. Oh. And Patricia... Patricia's like, I haven't cleaned my mags in weeks.
Well, what other hand would you have them play, guys?
No, I know, but I can't stand it.
Remember, this is all
virtue
just...
virtue signaling.
I know. I agree with you on that. It's very much, look at me. Look at how good I am being right
person.
Now.
See, that's why... That is why so many people hate the DA. That kind of shit. Not because of their politics. I'm telling you. This, look at me. I'm a good person. I don't care if you're a good person. How about you run the place properly? How about you don't have a drought? That would make you a good person.
The drought is their fault now.
Well, how about you plan?
They single-handedly must
No, it's not their fault.
It's not their fault, but the management of the whole situation has been criticized.
And I see that Nomvula Mokonyane, who's also the Minister of Water and Sanitation.
Yeah. See, another ironic one.
You would think this would be her, like, this would be her biggest issue right now. She's running around, like, deputizing for the president. Shouldn't she be down there in Cape Town, like, sorting out pipes and desalination plants?
Well, let's just say everyone's making this like, oh, it's a DA Western Cape problem. No. So, haha, you guys. Because that's what the ANC seems to be doing here. Because all the whole disaster relief funding, that kind of stuff.
You think the ANC don't want this to get worse? They want people in Cape Town so they can go, nah, you chose the DA. Look at what you've got. Even though they're part of the problem.
Yeah,
no one's going to blame them. Everyone's going to go, Zilla Delil. And they know it. The ANC knows that. That's not the Nomvula. She's sitting at home. She's like, turn on the taps. She's like, let's make this crisis worse. Nothing like a great crisis.
I bet they go and have baths when they go there.
That's how
sinister they are.
Nomvula's got the taps running in her house even though she's here in Joburg. Telling you. The DA are adamant that they will rid the party of corruption. That's that whole thing with Patricia de Lille. Well, according to Musi, the challenge the DA faces across the country is around emotional connection with black voters. That's a reality. We must face it. But, he says, the party will remove and expose all DA officials found guilty of wrongdoing, regardless of their position. So that's why they're going so hard on this Patricia thing. Because they say that if she's done anything wrong, they don't care how good she is for the party, how many votes she carries, how high up she is in the structure, they will get rid of her. It's like they removed Helen when she tweeted, remember? So the DA takes this stuff very serious.
But that's just like part of their strategy is to make examples of people.
Right.
To show that nobody is like immune.
Right.
Strange strategy, but yeah.
A 45-year-old woman has been arrested in Mitchell's Plain on the Cape Flats for allegedly being in possession of 3 firearms. Oh. This one 45-year-old woman had 3 illegal firearms.
Girl.
Yeah.
Which part of the hood are you from?
Well, she's clearly like she's
packing some heat.
She's gangster. Jeez. Anyway, now what else have you got, Mubs?
We've got Kim and Kanye West's new baby girl and the name being revealed. Ooh. Because, as you know, this is a massive thing in their part
of
the world.
Is it South or East?
It's Chicago West. Or Shy, for short. And that's enough on that.
Right, that's all we need to know.
That's
all right, let's turn our attention to Ben now and get straight on to some stuff people actually give a shit about. And
hey, find out about this. Chicago West.
No one cares about Chicago West. It's ridiculous. All right, what do you got, Ben?
Well, Gareth, got a nice cross-section of things. Let's start with the cricket. England have already beaten the Aussies in the ODI series. Now, we all know they got drilled in the Ashes, which is the test matches, 4-0 out of 5. Uh-huh. But England, I mean, there are a good one-day side, no doubt about it.
Right.
Australians, they're going through more of a rebuilding phase in the ODI format because Steve Smith isn't like the titan that he is in the test arena. David Warner's gone off the boil. And then you got guys like Zampa coming through because Zampa's the future. I'm not entirely sure. But the funny thing about yesterday was, as they won this, as they won this ODI, the Barmy Army were actually shouting, "We're going to win 5-4. We're going to win 5-4.
Yeah.
So what they were saying is because they won 5 ODIs.
Are they not just drunk? I mean, do we take them seriously? Can they count?
They're hugely drunk. So they're saying 5-4 because then 5 ODIs trumps 4 test matches.
Okay.
Well, no, that's like losing a fist fight in a car park and then going home and boasting about your Candy Crush score.
Oh, right.
I mean, we all know that these ODIs are like, I mean, Australia, like, they barely care. Like, they lose and they're like, eh. Test matches, people. That's what everyone cares about. So good on you, England. It does make for entertaining cricket watching these Aussies lose. But yeah. Anyway, congratulations to Josh Butler. This guy is just becoming such an incredible force in ODI cricket. Well, limited other cricket in general, really. England were not doing very well. He was stuck right at the end, and he got 183 balls. But he scored. I think his last 50 was like 20 balls or something. He just cleaned up at the end, together with Chris Woakes. So it was a really good match yesterday. Other cricket news, this Wednesday sees the third test, SA versus India, and the pitch, well, it's greener than all the money in Virat Kohli's bank account. It's going to be a great match of fast, swinging, seaming balls, which means very, very tight sphincters from Indian players. What an absolutely incredible thing to look forward to. In football, it appears that Alexis Sanchez will, he's basically going to Man United.
Okay.
So he's going to be on a straight swap with Henrik Mkhitaryan. He'll go to Arsenal. And Arsene Wenger, he's, well, that's all he does now is just concedes defeat, really. His team has really gone to crap, and now he's giving away his best players for sort of okay-ish, decent players. But there's more controversy, because this is what happens when you become rich and you become the focus of everything. Sanchez is rumored to be earning £450,000 a week.
Oh, yeah?
A week.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It's like 7.5 million rand a week to go to Manchester United. So he's going basically on a free transfer. So he's out of contract as of June, I think, with the Gunners. So that's kind of how it goes in. So he says, look, I want all this money. And this is essentially why Man City apparently fell out of the whole bidding for him. So some people are saying it's up to as much as £500,000 a week when you consider the image rights usage. So if he goes to Man United, and many people are saying this is going to cause such a riff in the dressing room because he will be earning more than double.
Oh, sorry, I don't know what that was. It's okay. I apologize.
He'll be earning more than double of all the sort of superstars in Man United. Now, all these...
Oh my God, someone's trying to muscle in on your sport, Ben. I don't know what's going on there. All right, it's stopped.
So if you look at all footballers, right, they're basically big children with lots of money. So if you get a kid that's going to rock up now earning more money, they're all going to throw their toys. Paul Pogba makes £290,000 a week. You really think this guy, who was the biggest transfer, is going to stand for this? There's already rumors around saying that he demands that his wages are doubled because he cannot be earning this much less than another player.
Oh, look, Which country in the world can I go to and adopt a child with athletic potential and just raise him to be a footballer without a mind? And then I can just skim off the top.
Just like that movie, Blades of Glory. I reckon we should all be farming children for
farm
this kind of
children
stuff.
To put them into sport.
I mean, Romelu Lukaku, the guy with the massive penis, £250,000 a week, he'll be earning half of what Sanchez will be earning. No one's going to like this. No. So as much as Man United believe that, yeah, we're going to get Sanchez, he's going to be great, everyone's going to hate him. They're going to be slashing tires, peeing on his bonnets, all kinds of things. Already, a shit-smearing storm has arrived. Some woman has come forward saying that Sanchez basically paid her £1,000 in £20 notes to have sex with him.
So?
Wow. Yeah.
His mother listens.
I don't believe her.
No, but so what if he did?
Yeah, I agree. So what?
Yeah, but Mubs, timing. I mean, look, we're not denying here that these footballers are basically dumbasses. But the day he signs it, the story comes out. This 20-year-old student basically was having an affair with him because he has a girlfriend.
He's an athlete.
Yeah, but
it's expected of them, and people need to stop being
I'm
so...
I'm not denying that, but this is the
everybody
whole thing.
Everybody knows that this is what footballers and rugby players and cricket
all
of them
here.
Do.
It's like the hurt is already coming to this guy because he's making so much money.
Everyone's after the cash. They're all at the trough, busy, ready to feed.
Well, that appears what Dwayne Vermeulen could be as well. I know last week was a big story that he's coming back to the Stormers. Well, probably not this season. Yes, he will be leaving Toulon, but he actually could be going to Japan to have a few kick-arounds there for some big cash.
Right.
So the chance of him being a Stormer this year, kind of slim. And if the rumors are to be believed around this little cash injection from Japan, he may even miss the June Internationals versus England, which is a bit, I don't know, it's a bit sticky. So that story is going to develop again. Money creates a lot of evils in sport. But then again, that's what we're all chasing anyway. So we can't exactly feel that we're holier than thou in this one. Last bit of football information from the weekend. Well, it wasn't too exciting. I know all the big teams kind of won in the PSL. The Chiefs beat Baroka, Wits beat Bloem Celtic. And then the Cape Town Derby, quite predictably, Cape Town City won that one. Again, I think it's four in a row. They've only had four games together, but they're just killing them. And then Sundowns, 3-0 Platinum Stars, Pirates drew. But in the actual English Premier League, which is always very exciting, the Arsenal managed to win that without Sanchez, 4-1 of Crystal Palace. Chelsea hammered Brighton, 4-0. Leicester were very good over Watford, 2-0. Man United beat Burnley. Now, that may not sound like much, but Burnley are pretty good this season. And Man City hammered Newcastle, 3-1. Spurs lost points yesterday. They drew with Southampton. And then Liverpool will be playing Swansea tonight at 10 o'clock in Wales. In Aussie Open news, this is obviously when things get more exciting. Well, quarterfinals in the men's draw. Nadal will be taking on Cilic. How exciting that'd be. Dimitrov beat that prick Grigorios yesterday. And Edmund, the guy that beat Kevin Anderson in the first round, he's also through. So that's your quarterfinal top-end draw. On the bottom side, Berdych is through. He'll take on the winner of Federer and Fucsovics.
I'm sorry.
Fuck civics.
It was bound to happen eventually.
That's his name, Fuck civics.
I can't wait to see all the other sports presenters on all these serious sports channels. And the... Because they can't say fuck civics.
F-U-C-S-O-V-I-C-X.
Fuck civics. Okay, well, that's going to be fun.
Federer's going to beat Fucsovic, so we're not going to hear his name again. So there we go. And he'll then take on Berdych, who's already through because he beat Fognini. And then on the other side, Dominic Thiem and Sandrigan, the winner Fucsovic. of that will take on Djokovic or Chung. Going to go with Djokovic on that one. No disrespect to the South Koreans. Yeah, we've run out of time. On the women's draw, other things are happening. All the big seeds are kind of going through.
Right, let's...
No real surprises there.
Thank you, Ben. Let's turn our attention to Anthea now and see what she has for us this morning. Anthea, always loaded up and ready to go with some news on what's happening with your money, or potentially, if you're thinking about doing something with your money, where it should go. And in between all of that, she still manages to, you know, check in on stuff like Davos, which we'll no doubt talk about. But that's coming up now, because you deserve it. Everybody, join in.
She works hard for my money. Anthea, she works hard for your money. Anthea, she works hard for her money. So we better treat her right. Anthea.
You know, someone actually said to me the other day, they listened to the original. They were so disappointed it doesn't go Anthea in it. What was Donna Summer thinking?
I'm kind of disappointed as
well.
Yeah,
I know. How are you?
Woman. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good. How's the economy?
Well, the stock market was much calmer last week, and Friday was a bit of a negative day. But overall, last week, we finished about 1.5% higher. Banks and retailers were flying last week. Banks were up 3.5%, retailers up almost 5%.
Wow. How did that happen?
So lots of speculation about the Zuma recall and therefore a stronger rand. So the rand hasn't actually broken through the 12 handle yet. It's about 1206, 1205,
it's
I
amazing,
think was the strongest.
Though. When last were we here? 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think right.
When Nene was fired.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's very excited about that, obviously. There's lots of talk. So very excited to see what Justice has to say about this speculation on the Zuma recall. And then we did have some good news. November retail sales growth came out at 8.2% year on year. In other words, South Africans are spending. We were expecting a 3.5% growth number. And I think what that November number shows is that Black Friday is working, basically.
Okay.
So those Black Friday sales got
works.
Everyone in. Yeah.
Good.
I don't think the Christmas period was as good. So the December retail sales probably won't be as good. And in fact, we had a couple of companies, retail companies reporting. Mr. Price reported, put out a sales update. Fairly robust sales, slightly ahead of expectations. Woolworths was a big disappointment. The share reacted negatively immediately on the day. It was down 8.5%.
But then it picked up, didn't it?
Yeah, and then suddenly, days later, it bounced.
What's that all about?
Very peculiar, because actually, even when I looked at the share price post the 8.5% decline, I wasn't that convinced about the earnings. Like, it didn't feel like it was cheap as chips, you know. It was okay, and maybe there was a turnaround, but I wasn't going to rush out and buy Woolworths shares. So it was very peculiar. Anyway, they in short, basically, three big problems with Woolworths. First, their competition are putting out very aggressive promotions. But I think you would have seen this just as an ordinary shopper, right? So if you're looking at Pick and Pay advertising, ShopRite, Checkers, all of them really aggressive advertising, and also kind of promotions and cutting prices.
Do you think there's a gap in the market for another top end food and that kind of retailer?
So the irony,
because I mean some of these brands, like I know, you know, Pick and Pay are trying to get their sort of top end stores equivalent to, you know, the purported idea of what Woolworths is, and then there's Spar, I suppose they're also trying.
So logically, I would say no. But actually, if you look at Woolworth's results, the one division that did really well was the food division.
Right.
And so people do go there. They trust the food. They know what they're getting, which kind of is counterintuitive because one of the things that our retail analysts look at is a comparison of the basket. And Woolworths is expensive. I mean, the food at Woolworths is a lot more expensive than the other baskets. So I guess the top end of the market is still happy to shop there. They're prepared to pay for the quality, I guess. I would have thought that by now Pick n Pay and Spar would start cutting into that market, but it appears not. Anyway, the second thing that Woolworths said was the ailing South African economy has been kind of very difficult for them. And then, of course, the third thing for Woolworths is their cash burn as a result of trying to turn around this Australian business, David Jones, which really saw a huge decline in sales of about 3.8%. And don't forget, Woolworths paid 22 billion rand for the acquisition of this David Jones, this Australian business, and their sister retailer, Country Road. And they've sunk another 2.9 billion rand into the business. And it just has not turned around as quickly as it should.
All right.
And then ShopRite also put out their operational update. Turnover grew by 6.3%. So you can see quite a big difference compared to Woolworths. South African stores grew by 7.8%, but they did say, which is important, that reported inflation in the base was 7.4%. So actually, organically, the growth wasn't huge. So 7.8 minus 7.4, basically.
Right.
So it's not exciting. And then also Foschini put out a sales update this week. Sure, we're just running through these retails. Group sales up 17%.
That's incredible.
Yeah, but don't forget that Foschini Group has the offshore brands, which have done particularly well. And in constant currency, they were in fact up 19% in constant currency, meaning in the currency where they trade. So obviously South Africa and the UK, so pounds. And then, of course, they've recently bought this Hobbs Retail and Apparel Group, which is a UK brand, very nice clothes. And that's been included in the reporting as well. So very good. Very exciting stuff going on there. So I suppose of all the retailers, it looks like Foschini, probably the strongest of them all.
All right. Are you concerned about, like, this rand strength? Are there negatives to that? Because we always talk about the positives, you know, when the rand comes down. For importers and exporters, it's not always the best news, and there's a lot of volatility. And even if, you know, people love Cyril, and it gives us international confidence, he's in Davos at the moment, right?
That's right. He should be World Economic Forum as we speak.
All right, so what happens there?
At Davos.
Yeah, I mean,
what's Cyril going to do?
Tell me.
He's going to try and convince everybody that is there that they must be investing in South Africa and that it's a good place to be and politically we're stable and that we will meet our budget targets and economic forecasts. There you go. It was interesting last week because the Reserve Bank, of course, had the MPC, which we'll talk about in a minute, but they were predicting that GDP growth for 2018 would be 1.4%, while Cyril, on the very same day, came out and said we should be targeting 3% growth 2018, and by, I think he said 2020, over 5% growth. I was like, oh, really? You're going to argue with the Reserve Bank? Don't you love politicians? I mean, no, I would have thought...
blowing smoke up his own ass.
Yeah. I would have thought that Cyril would know better. But that's what that's the message he's going to take to Davos. It's okay. We got this covered. And I think... good for him for changing the board this weekend, you know, the Eskom board this weekend.
Uh-huh.
He's put Jabu Mabuza in as chairman. He's put even Mark Lamberti, who's used to be the Massmart CEO, is now CEO of Imperial and like just a businessman, basically. He's on the board. Bakamani Hadebe is the acting CEO, which makes things very interesting for the rest of them who are coming in this morning. So I think that's kind of it's a nice quiver in, a nice arrow for Cyril to have in his quiver when he goes to Davos and says, don't worry, I got this. I've already made changes to the board. Because you know, last week, or you probably don't know, the JSC warned that if Eskom don't produce their interim 6 months results, which were due a while ago already, I think before the end of last year, that they would suspend trading. So Eskom is not listed, but their bonds do trade. And that's where they go. to find capital to pay the bills that are due, which we all know are due. And apparently they're running out of money. So Eskom, sure. So Eskom have said, guys, where are those financial reports?
All right.
So yeah, that's what Cyril's doing. Should we talk quickly about the MPC? Because
yes, yes, the last week was there was meant to be big news.
I think the MPC, the Monetary Policy Committee, missed a trick last week because
tell us how?
They left rates unchanged. Oh. And inflation is now well within their target. The rand is stronger. We've got a new ANC president. You would have thought they'd taken the opportunity to cut interest rates and to give the economy a boost. But they didn't. They left rates unchanged. They were worried about two major things, they said. Firstly, that the oil price, which they cannot control, so it's an exogenous impact, was still rallying, was still very high. It's about $70 a barrel now, I think. And really at three-year highs, that was the first thing. So you know that in fact it affects inflation for us, which is a problem. And then the risk of the downgrade, which we all seem to have forgotten about, because that's still looming over our heads. And there's a real risk that even though we're – I think everyone's very excited about Cyril winning and taking power. But the reality of the situation is that actually there's a budget coming up, and I'm not sure we're going to have met our budget targets. And if the rating agencies see this, they really just have – will have no – choice but to downgrade us.
Well, you know, this president that we've got at the moment, if he does the State of the Nation address or the budget, I mean, if he's still presiding over the budget, it's going to be like giving everyone everything because it's his last gasp. You've got to get him out before then.
Yeah.
He'll be like Oprah, giving everyone cars.
Free education for everyone, right. Free electricity. And who's going to pay for it? Oh, us. Who knows?
Us. We know. Of course we know. We pay for everything that guy promises everybody.
You know what? The Reserve Bank last week made a point of saying that the sugar tax we're expecting is expecting to add 0.6% to food inflation alone.
Yeah, you see, great idea, guys. Mm-hmm. Another stealth tax. Got nothing to do with keeping people healthy.
Yeah. And so that's right, you know, at the budget, if it doesn't balance, there's a real concern. I know, very worried. One last thing we must talk about is that the Steinhoff short sellers, you know, these guys that put out the Viceroy report,
yes,
have finally been identified.
Oh, okay, and who is it?
It's a guy called John Fraser Perring.
I don't like the sound of him.
UK-based ex-social worker.
Oh, God.
Who got suspended from his duties at the as a child protection officer.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So not a great guy.
And, well, I don't know.
Why would they suspend you as a social worker working with children? There are only a couple of options there. And it doesn't have to do with short-selling Steinhoff.
There you go. And two of his colleagues are Gabriel Bernard and Aidan Lau, who are 23 years old. And apparently, Fraser Perring said that when Steinhoff bought Mattress Firm for $64 a share, you remember the U.S. company they bought late 2016?
Right.
That's where, and they basically paid 100% premium to where it was trading. That's what gave him the heads up that something was wrong. Now, I must tell you, I clearly remember that day. I was in the office. We were all standing around. We got the news and we were like, what is Steinhoff thinking?
Right.
But then you kind of go back and say, like, can they possibly even grow earnings? Is this accretive? What is going to happen to the Steinhoff share price if they're paying double where the share is trading for the company? And actually, and maybe the problem with us is that we logic it away with fundamentals and numbers and go, oh, actually, they can meet those targets. And they can extract synergies because they also have Conforama in Europe and, you know, lots of factories
around
the world.
I'm going to pretend I know what Conforama is.
The retailer in Europe.
Okay.
All right. Jeez, I thought we'd spoken about this so often I wouldn't have to explain.
No.
Okay. I'll
Conforama.
Sorry. Where was I?
Oh, don't you sit there. Don't you sit there, Sia, looking like you know what Conforama is. Come on.
No. Because I actually just Googled something Anthea said 2 minutes ago as well.
What
2 minutes
that?
Ago. Exogenous. Oh, she said exogenous impact. I was
and
like,
what does it mean?
Having an external cause or origin. I was like, I need to find what that is. Yeah. I'll use that today. It's fine. Thank okay. you.
Yeah. Watch Sia go around telling people he knows about exogenous causes, yeah.
impact.
All right. Anyway, yeah, back to you, Anthea.
Yeah, so that's the story with Steinhoff, with Viceroy. I mean, there's a lot about this. So, people saying that one of these two youngsters, Gabriel or Aiden, had actually been working for a consulting business that were consulting to Steinhoff, and therefore it was insider trading, which would be absolutely terrible.
Ooh.
But, you know, we just don't know the truth. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, I think there's a lot more to come. I'm a little bit bored of it now, I must admit. I just want to see the end, the outcome.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure. We'll see you next... Oh, I won't see you next week. I'm in Cape Town.
Oh.
In, shall I?
Okay. Yeah, we'll get you on the line.
Super. Thanks, cool. guys. Have a good week.
We can't go without you for a whole week. Thank you very much. All right, let's turn our attention to Sia and see what's going on in Said by Sia. Da, da, da. Take it away.
I just always like for the beat to get in properly. This is a bit of a Monday motivation that I didn't know I needed up until I heard this clip. So we've spoken and we've mentioned Gary Vee on this segment a couple of times.
I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh. Based in New York. He's just a talented like it is public speaker, and he's an author and a businessman as well.
Absolutely.
So if you needed an extra kick in your behind this Monday morning, I think this is it, courtesy of Gary Vee.
All right, let's take a listen to him.
Early Monday morning, and I've been wanting to make a Monday morning video for a long time, and finally D-Rock, we're doing it. So real quick, this is just a rant, very simple, and something that I want you to pass on or watch every Monday morning, because the level of complaining is unacceptable. Look, what if I told you this was the last Monday morning of your life? What if I told you you die this week? Would you complain about your crap job or that test you don't want to take? I doubt it. You would go much higher level thinking. Well, that's really what it takes. It takes understanding that if you're not pumped right now, if you're begrudging what you're about to do, if you're not looking forward to it, look, I respect practicality. You gotta go through school because your parents want to. You gotta pay your rent. You got student loans. I get it. But please recognize the world we're living in. We're living in a world where there's so much more opportunity. This internet thing created way more opportunity for all of us. Way more. I mean, look, you might not even be alive. Like, your mom and dad could have had sex like 3 minutes later and you wouldn't even exist and you're complaining. You could have ended up being a bus, a tree. I just don't get the mentality of being head down sad on a Monday morning. I'm gonna make Monday morning my bitch. I'm gonna make you Saturday Monday morning. That's what I want to do every morning, and that's what I want from you. Please take a step back and think about how awesome it actually is. And then recognize that you can attack the world in a totally different way because you were lucky enough to be born during this era.
Right.
Fuck you, Monday.
Right. Exactly. Good for him.
Did he just say I could have ended up being a bus?
Yeah, or a tree.
Or a tree.
Right. Oh. Right.
Okay,
damn
sure.
straight.
Sure,
good
sure.
for him.
All right.
All right, so there's some motivation for you Monday morning and a good reason to not bitch about, oh, it's Monday.
Oh, yeah.
All right, very good. All right, Justice Malala and the Burning Platform up next. We got a busy day. It's Monday morning on cliffcentral.com just after 7. I saw it
coming. This is cliffcentral.com.